Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of On Mic with Jordan Rich, where conversation is alive and well, conversation with creative people who have a lot to say. Now today, a special edition of the podcast, I have the opportunity to interview and share conversation with my dad, Marty Rich, who at the time of this recording is 93 years old, born in 1929. And I thought it time to get together with Dad to share some memories, stories about family, passion for music and baseball, and thoughts on life in general. Both of Dad's parents, my grandparents, lived well into their 90s. My mother just passed away last year at the age of 92. Want to take this opportunity to celebrate my dad, who worked hard his entire life to support his family and always tried to do the right things, the moral things. So join us, won't you, for a life well lived. Recollections of Marty Rich, as we now go on mic. First off, I asked Dad for memories of growing up in the 1930s, the Depression years, and what he recalls.
Jordan, as someone who grew up in Boston during the Depression years, all I can say is the attitude of my age, no depression, quote unquote. What we remember are schoolyard games, hide and seek, and all the kids that loved to play. That was outside. But then when I went home, it was a different atmosphere completely. And I never quite understood why. But I could see the hardship that my folks had to go through to give me the opportunity to just play around in the streets.
Certainly there are moments in any young person's life that stand out, events that affected an entire community. Dad is a memory of one such event.
During those years, I remember some things that affected everybody, namely the hurricane in 1938.
Lots of people died during that hurricane.
About 600 people killed in New England, Connecticut, Rhode Island. Didn't have school buses in those days. You had your school was in a district where you lived, and you were expected to walk from school to your homes. Unfortunately, hurricane hit while I was coming from school back home, about a mile walking, and I'll never forget what happened. The storm, nobody expected it. They didn't give them names then, but certainly they could have called it something that Stephen King might have thought about. But anyway, when I got home, there was no power. I said, gee, what happened, Mom? We had a little rain. Well, the rest is history. They all lived through it, thank God, and I never want to go through another one like that again. But that was the only traumatic thing I went through during that period.
Dad is a member of the greatest generation, who as a young boy growing up in the 1930s was innocently unaware of the looming threat overseas. Here he reflects on the winds of war and the impact on the Jews of Europe, some of whom were relatives who wouldn't survive the Holocaust.
The threat of war coming up in the 40s was only touched on in school by the surrender of France, Dunkirk. And one thing that did follow me through the rest of my life, I will always remember Italy was giving France a stab in the back. That's what they called it. And that was in the headlines, so we just read it and say, a stab in the back, it's awful. But fortunately, things worked out better, if not for those who gave their lives
just a kid at the time, but were you aware of what was going on with the Jewish population in Europe? Was anybody talking about that?
Not to the extent they did after they were discovered in the concentration camps, which were freed after the victory. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was a horrible thing to go through as a young school attendee. We didn't give it that much attention. I'm sure the adults felt it.
He enjoyed school, loved to read, handled math problems with ease. But school back then, as it is now, is all about fitting in and feeling accepted.
I was sent to a school which is a quite different district than the majority of Jewish kids lived. My mother, yeah. Your grandmother, she wanted me to transfer where I knew all the people. I went to services with them and so forth. So it worked out that I spent only 1 year at this school, mm-hmm. only because it was in my district. But she got me transferred to the one where most of my co-religionists mm-hmm. live. And I was glad after that. That's when I made more friends. I made no friends in the other school.
Was that because you were in the minority? Was there anti-Semitism?
Yeah, well, the feeling of being in a minority was not healthy, of course. It prevented us from a lot of association with the other boys, girls. Mm-hmm. There was no animosity. It's just that we wanted to sieve with our own, and we did.
From an early age, Marty Rich, my dad, loved to perform, whether singing or acting, to leading services at the local synagogue. Give him a microphone and an audience, and he's raring to go. And in the early days, he wasn't alone. He had friends who also performed, one who would soon sprout pointy ears and head off on his own particular Star Trek.
I always did perform at little amateur shows throughout the city. Leonard Nimoy and I were in an amateur group of actors for 1 year at least. I remember Leonard in the movie John Loves Mary, and we held it at one of the temples mm-hmm. in Roxbury. But that was the only time Leonard and I had association, because the Hollywood bug got him. He ended up as one of the greatest stars in the movies.
Right, Star Trek. And there's a picture that you had years ago of you and Leonard and another fella in a group, a singing group that appeared on television or on the local game show or something.
I do remember with Leonard, he sang a little bit too. And we had a couple of other fellas who wanted to make a quartet. Mm-hmm. So when Leonard headed west, we were left with three of us. And the three of us formed a trio. And would you believe what we call them? Somebody might laugh at us today. We called ourselves the Gay Blades.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work today for you particularly.
But I was always, the lyrics of music so grabbed at my heart sometimes. They were all about love affairs mm-hmm. that didn't come through. Just the songs stayed in my heart.
My father has a pretty incredible memory, particularly when it comes to lyrics. And over the last 4 years, he's put down on paper the lyrics to about 200 songs, nearly all of them from memory.
How do I remember all the lyrics? I think, despite the fact that the melodies were written by, well, take George Gershwin and his brother Ira. Words and music. Words came first. Mm-hmm. And that's what I based my collection of lyrics on, all the lyrics from the songs. As I put down the words, I sang to them, so I knew that I was doing the right words.
Like so many of his generation, Dad was drafted during the Korean conflict in the early 1950s.
Fortunately, I didn't get into the World War II draft. I missed that 1 year. And then we had a little respite between wars until the Korean conflict began and a draft was reinstated. And I was 1A, thank you. So I spent my training in Virginia at Camp Pickett. I won't talk much about that. A lot of people can agree that that's not the ideal place to spend a vacation in Virginia.
Yeah, right.
But I did serve with the United States 43rd Division in Germany from 1952 to the mid of 1953, because you were limited to a 2 years service, didn't have to re-enlist. Now, memories of Germany will always be in my heart, only because of the countryside and the beautiful Alps, which I visited during leaves, the close proximity to Switzerland, mm-hmm. where I saw more beautiful mountains and greeneries. I did some singing with an army band in Germany after I went and auditioned for Victimone, drafted at the same time I was.
Post-war Germany, challenging times for all, particularly for a young Jewish American army soldier.
I did attend the Dachau concentration camp. Mm-hmm. I did see some of the gas chambers. This was after the war, of course. Mm-hmm. It cut me right here in the heart.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the sign over those concentration camps. Arbeit macht frei. And that's in German, and that means work will make you free. What a lie that was.
What was it like interacting with German citizens at that time?
We didn't have much to do with the German people. Only when a holiday arose, a lot of the guys from my division were invited to a German home, on Christmas Eve. I sat there, felt like an honored guest. You know, all the German people we met never ever brought a word against us, nor did we make any kind of gestures that we were disappointed in how they treated our people.
After serving his country and coming home, my father attended Bentley College, got a business degree, and quickly got his first job working for General Electric in Schenectady, New York. He did make his way back to Massachusetts, to Quincy, however, where once again he took to the stage.
That was after I was married and came back from New York. They knew of my experience, and they wanted to put on the play Marty. I think I was miscast. But at any rate, they had a little slogan in those days. Marty playing Marty? How can he Marty play Marty?
Well, I know you've had a love for theater and acting and films, and you often donned the cap and the vest and played Tevye in various incarnations. From Fiddler on the Roof, you portrayed Tevye at various shows. Must have loved that.
In amongst my collection, almost the entire score of Fiddler on the Roof. And I can sing any of them at any time.
All one need do is ask.
All I have to do is ask Dad to talk about family, and his eyes light up. First, some memories of growing up in Dorchester. His dad and his beautiful sister and my aunt, Irene.
During the Depression, they were hard. My father was in and out of jobs, you know. He fixed sewing machinery. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Irene, may she rest in peace, sang like I did. Something about Irene I want to mention off the record. Her name, Irene Rich, is the same as an actress in the 30s. I can't remember any movies she was in.
I do remember that name, though.
But I recognize her from any films that you... Nobody made a big fuss about that. We said, well, it's just a coincidence that she has the same name as an actress.
And what about meeting Bernice, your future wife, our mother? Let's reminisce about that.
Well, this is probably the same story anybody else will tell you about their meeting their mate. Mate? Did I say fate? Oh, man. A couple of uncles of mine ran a store in Cambridge, and Bernice, my future wife, had a store across the street with her father. And my uncle said, hey, why don't we try to get these two kids mixed up? It worked. Eventually, it did. And we lived 67 years before she passed away.
Quite a marriage and quite a love story. And speaking of love, one of your other great ones is baseball. How about that first Boston Braves baseball game?
The first game of baseball, professional baseball, Major League Baseball, I was 9 years old. Nine. Mm-hmm. At that time, Braves Field was really the attraction. And I saw a game. I can only remember some of the players. I was so fascinated at looking at the people and waiting for popcorn. I remember the catcher. Anybody want to give an answer to that?
Please.
Well, Al Lopez was the catcher for the Braves. Jim Tobin. Did that sound familiar? No. Okay. Only that he was one of the best hitting pitchers that ever crossed home plate. And remember, this is 1938. If I can remember any one or more, I'm patting myself on the back.
Who took you? Your father?
No, my uncle. Because mm-hmm. he lived in Brooklyn, right near the field. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, you've got to take in a ball game. He was a busy man. He couldn't take me only but once. There was another man. Joe Stripp played third base. Debs Garms. Ever hear that name?
No, of course not.
I'm going back so far.
That's okay.
I could give you the whole lineup if I researched more. Mm-hmm. Of course, I could remember more of the Braves players since then.
Yeah.
Whitey Wiedemann.
These are great baseball names, by the way. They really are. Were you more of a Red Sox fan than a Braves fan ultimately? Or when the Braves left, that was it, or what?
When the Braves went to Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
After that, at Atlanta. And I became a Red Sox fan, naturally.
Of course.
Not in a World Series for a long time, until 2004. But after that, they took four more World Series championships. And, damn it, then I started to vote against them.
Well, we should tell...
I think they became too proud, and they had those... Other teams giving up. They had guys like David Ortiz, and along came guys like Xavier Bogaerts.
Mookie Betts.
Well, Mookie.
Mookie Betts helped them win.
He's with the Dodgers. But, yes, well, Mookie played. The Red Sox won.
You used to guest star on my radio show on WBZ when we did baseball nights. You did a dozen of them. You'd sit there and argue with some of the co-panelists about baseball. It was a lot of fun. You remember those days?
I remember those days. That was back in the late 90s.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Red Sox player from all time?
For all time?
Yeah.
Williams. Ted Williams. He epitomized the all-around baseball player, both in hitting, in fielding, never taking off his cap.
That's right. Now, anybody who knows Marty Rich, my dad, grandfather to my two children, and great-grandfather to his two favorites, L and Carter, they know that he's a man who's always curious, constantly looking to satisfy that thirst for knowledge. One of the many projects Dad took on during his retirement was an examination of the intricacies of the Jewish calendar. Now, anybody who knows anything about the calendar understands that it's confusing as all get out. Holidays fall on different dates every single year. There's a mystery to it that Martin L. Rich just couldn't let go. So he self-published a book on the subject that even the great Talmudic scholars can learn from.
Like most people, I was very inquisitive about science, and something was always bothering me to find out why or how, or what, all the questions concerning the Jewish calendar. The new year comes on a different day each year. Now, why is that? I said to myself, Christmas comes December 25th. So I went to the extent I solved the mystery. It took a book about 60 pages long. I made it so complex that even I couldn't figure it out after I did it.
Great rabbis have trouble figuring it out. What is the basic formula? Is it the moon or the sun? What determine the days in the calendar?
The lunar year is shorter by 10 days. So we had to make that year longer by adding leap years seven times within a cycle of 19 years, we are following the biblical manifestation by God, that Passover, the freeing of the slaves, would always come in the springtime. And you can't do that if you don't add leap years to a lunar year to make it equal the solar year. And that leap year, seven leap years in a cycle, will do it. I have asked rabbis, my own rabbis and others, to read this book. Most of them said, yes, very nice, but they don't want to explain it in detail like I did.
There are so many reasons I'm proud of my father and look up to him. And one of the major ones is this. He's always looking forward, always interested in what's around the corner. And creatively, Dad is still at it, making sweet music.
Those are things that I love to do. I never wanted to make a career out of it. But as long as I can sing, and as long as I can sing the song, I make some of the people here in the home, they make them laugh. Smile. They need those.
You're playing piano again, I'm told.
I play piano for them. I'm no Liberace, but I did learn how to play piano by ear, and I do it here in the home, and everybody is happy with it.
Such a treat to enjoy conversation with my dad, hanging out with just one microphone between us. So just a couple of things in parting. Number one, what makes you proud?
I'm most proud of the boy I'm looking at right now for what he's done for me and for himself and for everybody who ever calls in on his radio show.
Thank you.
I have a lovely daughter who's taken over most of my work.
Well, you've certainly done it for us and for so many others. Final question. You've amassed a lot of wisdom over the years. What advice do you have, Dad, for those of younger generations?
Well, before you come to my stage of life, it's the long ride. When you're young, you've got to prepare for the future and save for your old age. But always remember that you want to do it honestly, because you know, as Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls.
Poignant and powerful. And dare I say, the voice of a natural performer. We each had such a great time recording this podcast, and as I thanked Dad and told him I loved him at the end, he asked me a simple question. How long had we been talking? I told him about an hour, and here's what happened.
And almost an hour?
Almost an hour.
It's your fault. You had too many questions.
I know. Martin Leonard Rich, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and an all-around great guy. Thank you for allowing me to get a bit personal by sharing a conversation for this podcast with my dad. And I hope it serves as an inspiration for you, whether you have a podcast or not, to sit down with your elders and record your conversation, either electronically or in print. Legacy is important to them, but it's also vital for us. The fact is, our children are such an important resource, but so are those from the older generation. Thank you, as always, to Dan Tebow of Fast Twitch Media, to Ken Carberry and everyone at Chart Productions. You can check out my book, On Air, My 50-Year Love Affair with Radio, and much more at my website, jordanrich.com. And until we meet again, dear friends, as always, be well so you can do good. Take care.
Save big on brunch for Mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.